What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 8th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I, again, apologize. No Sunday podcast. I was running out the door because I had to go to the Yankee game. Wonderful time. But it was just one of those days that after the meetup and everything, I tried to get everything done as fast as I could. It's the one thing that I didn't get out. Not going to be what I want to do moving forward, but I do sincerely apologize that I have not had a Plus Pitch podcast on a Sunday this weekend. However, I hope that you understand that we have the streaming article and we also do have the SP Roundup article that I am talking about when I do these podcasts. So if you want those references, go ahead and check it on the site. But I do apologize. I'll have those back next weekend. In full, I also have the SP Fab Forecast go out. If you don't know what that is, it's a PL Pro exclusive podcast. You can find it on the site. You can also find it inside of the Discord for those that have PL Pro, not PL Plus. And that is where I actually give out both A, images of my two-star pitchers ranked for the following week, as well as the full sit and start for the week in all four tiers that I talk about with the streaming pitchers. In addition to me talking about the fab guys to get in 12-teamers and 15-teamers, it's the podcast that I know a lot of people have wanted me to do as PL Pro members, those in high-stakes leagues. And finally, here is a place that I can say, look, these are the guys I am focused on for Sunday fab, because, of course, I know the list does come out on Mondays, and you can't really get that information in time for your fab. So that is the podcast I put out on Fridays. It should be in the mid to late afternoon on Fridays. So go check that out by getting PL Pro. What happened yesterday? Mackenzie Gore was my lead. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. 11 whiffs, 25% CSW. Not the most impressive line. It might be a little surprising that I led with him, but this was against the Phillies, and he's doing the fun thing, and that is throwing 97, not 95, on his four-seamer with much better IVB. That is vertical break. We want to see above 16 on four-seamers, and this is 17 to 18 inches that we're seeing from Mackenzie Gore's four-seamers. He's also going upstairs consistently, which is exactly what you want to see. I'm a big fan of this. I've also added, by the way, inside the SP Roundup, IVB and HILOC and HAVAA as tooltips. I know that those have been confusing terms for everybody inside of the Roundup this year and trying to keep up with everything that I'm referencing. I know that that was a problem, so I made those as tooltips for you. So if you see anything in red inside of the Roundup, you will know that you can hover over it. If you're on mobile, you can just tap it and you'll get a definition from yours truly outlining what that means. And of course, IVB is just induced vertical break. That's a more break on the fastball upstairs, essentially saying how much the ball's backspin is resisting the normal drop of the pitch. So the more that it stays up, then that's going to deceive batters and go above their bat as opposed to onto the barrel. While high lock, of course, is high location. That is, all pitches are grouped into either low location, middle location, or high location. And you want high lock for your four seamers. So that's what Gore is doing. It's great. And he has these secondaries that should be good on a regular basis. He just needs one of them to really work out. And that would be either his slider, which is now really a cutter at 91, which I think is so good. He just needs to fine tune it slightly. He has a big curveball. He also has a changeup. I think all of those things are going to be good for Gore. He has been a guy through the years that we haven't really been too worried about those secondaries working for him. They've always been solid. It's just about consistency. And I think Gore is finally figuring out how to establish it with his four-seamer. So then eventually those secondaries will take shape. And guess what? It gets Oakland next. So I feel like this was the start where we say, hey, look, Mackenzie Gore is turning into the thing. You got to act now before that Oakland start, because you're going to want that one. Everyone's going to go, oh my gosh, Mackenzie Gore, that's amazing. So looking at other guys, Ryan Pepiot had a great game in Coors. He got the golden goal, 21 whiffs and 39% CSW. His IVB was way down, but don't worry, it was Coors. So IVB is going to be a lot worse there, as you're not going to get as much impact of the backspin of a four-seamer. Why? Because it's thinner air. There's just less stuff to keep it afloat. So don't worry about that with Pepiot, and be happy that he got 11 strikeouts in 6 innings and 0 runs and 3 hits and 0 walks and 6 Ks. Sorry, in 6 innings, 11 Ks in Coors. Now, the Rockies are really bad, including Coors. And we just saw this with the Rays. They just went and trounced them in Coors. And I actually think that I moved them down in my rankings at Colorado is not an avoid start. It is a middle start. I just think they're so bad of a lineup. For Pepiot, this is kind of what we were hoping for with the bad start against the Rangers. It was more of the matchup than the skills. And we thought this would be a matchup that we wouldn't like, but it's Kors and it's not so bad. So thus he thrived. And guess what? Now he's going to be going against the Giants and he's throwing four seamers upstairs, 13 over 49 whiffs, which is a 26% swing strike rate. Oh boy. Yeah, get excited about Pepio right now. This is a good moment. Dean Kramer did fine against the Pirates, 7 innings of 0 runs. Didn't get a win because he's just that unfortunate. We also saw a splitter show up, 6 for 22 whiffs there. It's normally just cutters and four seamers and whatever else. 6 over 22 whiffs. Maybe that's a real thing for Kramer. He needs some help, so that's nice, but I don't really know if I want to go after this against the Brewers. Ronel Blanco did well against the Rangers, and he's going to get one more start before JV returns. That is Verlander. I don't know if they're going to keep Blanco in and maybe displace JP France. Because if Blanco's still killing it, like, why would you displace him? You can't really do that. Maybe it's a six-man, and Verlander accepts that and turns into a six-man. I don't know. It's not a complete inevitability that Blanco leaves after his next start, which also happens to be Texas, and that's not fun. But he did well here. Not as amazing, but honestly, I'm impressed because I expected a hangover. Normally, we see a step back in ability following a no-hitter because you're just more fatigued. And yeah, 4 walks, 4 Ks, just one hit. That's one hit in his first 15 innings this year, which is absolutely bonkers. 0 earned runs. Only 2 out of 43 whiffs on the changeup and slider, though. I maybe got a little bit away with things. I am a little scared of that next start against the Rangers, but Blanco is looking like he has much better command than he used to, and that's a cool thing. Tanner Houck did well against the Angels, and guess what? He gets the Angels again. That's all I really need to say there. The splitter wasn't as good, but you obviously keep starting Houck. Matt Waldron is a knuckleballer, and he had 4 whiffs in this one. He did well against the Giants, but I don't want to trust that. Joe Boyle did well against the Tigers, 3 walks, and he didn't have a high strike rate, and he still made it work, which is so funny to me. When he did throw strikes, they just like couldn't do anything with them. That's pretty much what happened. Only 6 whiffs. Yeah. Joe Boyle, I'm so sorry. I'm not a fan of that. Shota Imanaga against the Dodgers. It was 4 innings of 43 pitches, and then was a rain delay of 3 hours. Oh, man, it was pretty cool. 43 pitches on, 34 of 43 pitches total were on four seamers. Just 9 of those were not from Imanaga, and he was really like locating that upstairs. That was one of the concerns I had, I think, early on with Imanaga. It's like, is he going to be able to pinpoint that upstairs? He really did that against the Dodgers. It was cruising. Oh, it's not fun. I hate not seeing the full start there, but so it goes. Max Meyer is a Toby, and he did Toby things against the Cardinals. It's really just slider focus. Kind of reminds me of Anthony Descofani with being like 40% plus sliders and everything else being eh. It's a little different than Descofani, but Max Meyer actually does a better job than Tony Disco of locating down in glove side. So there's some benefit there, but I just don't like the other stuff enough to really lean into Max Meyer. Colin Ray, whatever. Sure, he did fine against the Mariners, but 1 out of 39 whiffs on his secondaries while sitting 2 ticks down is just not it. Sean Manaea against the Reds. I don't know how I feel about Sean Manaea. I don't know. The secondaries are better in this one. He didn't have really good four-seamer command. He survived in Cincinnati. And actually, I've seen a lot of guys survive in Cincinnati so far. So maybe I don't know. I don't know how to feel there. I feel like he's a Toby. I feel like it could go really badly against the Royals. He's fine. But I don't think this is going to be like a big breakout season for Sean Manaea. Gavin Stone was on the other side of the Imanaga game in 3 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks, 77 pitches though. And he ran into errors. I mean, the very first play of the game for him was an error, and that led to 3 earned runs in the first, and then another error in the third with 2 outs led to another error and another unearned run. But he looks like he's doing fine. It's a better slider that we saw here. 4 out of 14 whiffs is nice with a high strike rate. That's very good. He gets the Padres next. I'm still like, okay, we're going to keep trying this with Gavin Stone. We're not out yet, but I'm not as encouraged as I am against 4 other guys than Gavin Stone, as he's still very, very reliant on that changeup and the four-seamer isn't impressing me enough, and we haven't seen enough of that slider succeed. Also, I feel like he's getting babied more than other guys, like Ronaldo Lopez. Logan Webb did fine against the Padres. It was 10 hits in 7 innings, and the slider went 0 for 8 whiffs, and I wish that were better, but whatever. Marco Gonzalez against the Orioles did actually good, and he went around the edges, and he's at 90 miles per hour. That's nice, but he gets the Phillies, and I don't want to do that, even though this was Baltimore. Like, this is way too pedestrian. for me to chase. Chris Sale did well against Arizona. He doesn't really have his changeup doing great things, but it's fine, and hopefully that will get back into a better groove. I mean, it's not like it's terrible now. It's just threw like 9 of them, and they were fine. But I want that to be more of an asset for him. Andrew Abbott has last start of the year, I think, or not the year, but of now, because he should get replaced by Nick Lodolo. And there's nothing really that's making me latch onto him to say like, oh no, when he does come back, I really want to do this, even though he pitches for Cincinnati. And Garrett Crochet against the Royals, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks, 15 whiffs, 36% CSW. The cutter did a great job at 13 for 14 strikes, while the slider was generally down and located well, but it was about 50% strikes. So the cutter, it was a big deal and a thing that I didn't expect him to have in the preseason, which now makes me even more interested in Crochet. I don't think that his four-seamer was as good as we've seen, though, in this one, and its shape is really more reliant on extension than it is IVB and a low attack angle, or flat attack angle, I should say, which means there's velocity and extension, and it does mean he needs to locate a little bit better than he is right now, because when they do swing, and it's going to be easier for them to locate where to swing, right? So, not a huge... I'm still, like, very weirded out by Crochet, but I do like the new cutter. And, like, there are all these little areas. I'm like, yeah, but that could be the weakness. Yeah, that could be the weakness. But obviously, we're still going to lean into Crochet. We have a lot of other guys to talk about, of course, from yesterday's games. And, of course, tomorrow's starters as well. And we're going to talk about all of that after this break. Luis Gil against the Jays had a weird one where he, I don't know, he walked in the bases loaded, walked in around with the bases loaded. Angel Hernandez was weird the entire game, but still, he isn't throwing enough strikes with his changeup and his slider. I mean, it's really just that. And we saw that in the spring. We haven't seen it since. Still getting all the strikeouts, still hard to hit, and the four-seamer shape is still really good, so I'm still very much in on Luis Gil, but we aren't going to see 5+ innings until we start seeing more changeups and sliders for strikes, and I hope we see it soon. Dane Dunning against the Astros, I guess, survived. It's a sinker slider approach right now, and I don't really love that for Dane Dunning. He's a Toby. Dakota Hudson, I did well against the Rays in Coors, but it's the Rays, and the Rays aren't that good of an offense. And so, yeah, it's something to really to consider moving forward, but Dakota Hudson, you don't want to really go for. Ryan Nelson went against Atlanta, and honestly, if he didn't go against Atlanta, I think this would have been a much better start, because he got 16 whiffs and 24% CSW, 7 Ks, and it was 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, and 0 walks with those 7 strikeouts, and he finally had his cutter. So this is the thing that got me excited about Ryan Nelson, his first spring training start. He was throwing 95 to 97, and with a hard cutter, like at 90 miles per hour off of it, and that is a really, really nice 1-2 punch. That is kind of the, like, let's say he's sitting 97, throwing a 91 mile per hour cutter. That's kind of like the Strider thing, right? The Hunter Green thing. And he has good shape on that four seamer. It's good extension. It's good IVB. It's like average attack angle, which is fine. We'll take a one all day, right? We just don't want it to be steep. And that allows the IVB to prosper upstairs. And he located it well in this one, and he finally showed up with that harder cutter. And it was great. The four seamer had an 18% swing strike rate, as they either fouled it off or whiffed at it. And the 91 mile per hour cutter did a really good job getting strikes in the zone. And that works. But it was one start after not doing it last start and doing it off and on in the spring. So I'm not going to say that he's going to do this again versus the Cardinals. But Ryan Nelson is someone that, okay, this is a skill that I wish you have consistently. If you do, then we should be paying attention to that. I do say steps, not leaps, because what I often say is one start is an exception, two is a suggestion, and three is a confirmation. So we're at the exception start right now. Hopefully we get the suggestion next time. And steps, not leaps. You got to go, you know, slowly through these things. We can't just like leap to conclusions or jump to them as you would with a mat. It's one of my 5 mantras. Chase Silseth against the Red Sox, 5 innings, 3 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Just 3 hits. Yeah, it's solid results on everything. I'm in a position where I don't know if I can truly trust Silseth's fastball. And it's a splitter-slider combination that sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. He gets Boston again, and this time in Fenway, and I just feel like that's a worse situation for him, so I'm not really going to go for it. He's part of this crew of maybe there is something more, but I feel like he's going to be more cherry bomb than he is actually like a Holly or something like that. Alec Marsh, we were hoping it was going to be a Toby, especially after the really good start against the Orioles. And if I got the White Sox, this felt like a good stream, and it wasn't. Well, fine. Never mind. We move on from Alec Marsh. Christopher Sanchez was very disappointing here against the Nationals. Man, just one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? 4.1 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, and 3 walks. His changeup wasn't down enough. Everything was just at the bottom. So when he was mirroring his changeup and his sinker, there wasn't much of a gap that allowed him to take advantage of that. And then he didn't execute when he needed to and lost these at-bats. It wasn't a high ball rate game to lead to those 3 walks. This just wasn't him cooking. And I'm annoyed by that massively. So fix that, Sanchez. It's the worry I had in the preseason. I thought we'd just quell that with the first start. But right, one is a suggestion, confirmation. He gets the Pirates and Rocky Road next, so you shouldn't do anything rash here. You should be starting him, obviously, for both. Bowden Francis was opposite Luis Gil, had that ridiculous strikeout to Torres to start the game, which I still don't understand. He stepped off the mound, and then he stepped on and pitched, which is completely against the pitch clock rules. And when you step off, that's you calling time, which he should have. And then he put his foot back on the mound and then didn't get look in and then make eye contact and then pitched a 3-2 count. And then it was ball 4 up and it was called strike 3. Like, that's the fortune that Bowden Francis got here to start this game. He also didn't trust his secondaries enough. It was really just fastballs he could rely on for strikes. There was 9-for-21, I believe, in secondaries, or maybe that was just with his curve. But he got to a situation. I was in the stands watching this, and I was hanging out with pitcherless members here talking about this at bat as it went. And you can kind of see that Stanton would have flailed at any curveball, I think, at 1-2 or 2-2, but instead Francis went heater. And what do you know? He allowed a grand slam inside. It's just, yep, that's not going to do it. But it's because he didn't have faith and his bases loaded. And I can understand that. Jack Flaherty against Oakland was a real disappointment. Thing is, the slider, which was the concern last time, is that if he doesn't have the slider, the fastball can get hit. And if there isn't another secondary, I mean, maybe the curve shows up and all that kind of stuff. But the fastball isn't at a good enough place that if the slider isn't doing enough, then the fastball would get trounced. Well, thing is, the slider actually was good. It was doing the same thing. And the curve maybe was actually helping more. The fastball was still very much in the zone to hit, and Oakland hit it. We still have 14 whiffs and 38% CSW. Keep in mind that Jack Flaherty should have done better, but the 4 seamers that he did throw in the zone were just taken advantage of. 6 innings of 6 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. It's not a death sentence for Flaherty, because, all right, just locate those 4 seamers better, right? Like, it's not like he doesn't have the best skill of his intact, which is the sliders. He does. It's just now the mistakes are, well, sometimes they get taken advantage of and sometimes they don't. And they got taken advantage of this time. So you should still be fine tossing him out there against the Twins. But this is a very disappointing outing. Yeah, it's annoying. Kyle Gibson against the Marlins, 6 innings, 700 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. That's the life of Kyle Gibson. He does well against a good offense and then badly against a poor offense. If you try to figure it out, you will lose. Yeah. Don't do it. And Emerson Hancock could not handle the Brewers because, well, it's Emerson Hancock who is a Toby at best. Today we have some slight changes from yesterday's streaming options, and I'll mention them because I didn't do the podcast yesterday. So Zach Eflin, Yu Darvish, Luis Castillo, Zach Gallen, Jose Berríos, and Blake Snell are all auto starts. Gallen is in Coors, don't really care, and Snell is against the Nationals. It's his first start back. I don't know how long the leash is, but it's against the Nationals. You just gotta do it, right? Okay. A probable start here, you have Charlie Morton against the Mets, James Paxton at Minnesota, Tristan McKenzie against the White Sox. I know 90.5 last time, but it's the White Sox. You just got to do it if you have them. Nestor Cortez against the Marlins hasn't been so sharp, but it's the Marlins. It's not too scary. On the other side of that is Jesus Luzardo, who's looked better than Cortez, but has the tougher matchup. Reese Olson as our stream pick of the day against the Pirates. I mean, that seems like it should be fine. And Framber Valdez at Texas. It's Framber Valdez, but it is at Texas. Questionable start. It's Mitch Keller, who I don't really like, but it's the Tigers. So this is a cherry bomb coin flip here. If you want to do it, go ahead. Spencer Turnbull has looked good with his four-seamer acting like a cutter and then the sweeper paired with that. Against the Cardinals, I don't love it, but it is a decent win chance. You have Bailey Ober, I know, against the Dodgers. It's questionable because of this. All the bottom four here are a little bit separate from Mitch Keller and Turnbull. But Bailey Ober is not as bad as the first start was, and it's really just a big shrug at the moment that we just want to see him be fine. It just happens to be the Dodgers, so it's just annoying as heck. You have Graham Ashcraft against the Brewers. His command was better last time with his cutters actually down. Maybe that sticks around. Tyler Anderson against the Rays. The Rays aren't very good right now. But it's also Tyler Anderson. Javier Assad then gets the Padres, who I do not trust to go six innings again. And in our do not start tier, it's Andrew Heaney against the Astros. The Astros are too good. Andrew Heaney was weird, and I just don't trust this. Trevor Williams at San Francisco's Giants, never Trevor. Miles Michaelis at Phillies, maybe he chucks enough sliders and junk to make that work. Aaron Ashby's returning, going against the Reds. I am not a fan of it. I think that Aaron Ashby just has not been the guy we want him to be since 2021. Missed all of 2023, was not good in 2022. The one Statcast game that we saw pretty much mislabeled all of his fastballs for changeups, so we don't really have good data there. Look, he's a sinker guy that gets hit too hard and isn't moving as much as it did in 2021. I can say things. 2021. Not as good as that. In Cincinnati, likely on a leash, just I wouldn't do this. But then the other three are Julio Teheran against Atlanta, Kyle Freeland in cores against the Diamondbacks, and Jared Schuster against the Guardians. Like, okay, all of this do not do. Tomorrow, we have Zach Wheeler and Corbin Burns and Tyler Glasnow, Cole Reagans and George Kirby. Obviously, all order starts. We also have Joe Musgrove against the Cubs, Nathan Eovaldi against the Athletics, Chris Bassett against the Mariners, Christian Javier against the Royals, Merrill Kelly in cores, I don't care, and Aaron Civale against the Angels looking great. All of that is clear auto start. You have Reynaldo Lopez leading off the probable start tier as our stream pick of the day against the Mets. I love that one. So do I love Casey Mize at Pittsburgh. Both of those are great streams. I know Mize did not come through last time, but that was weird. It was cold, 2 days off from when he was supposed to because of the delays. He should be much better against the Pirates here. But I favor Lopez because there's just more clarity and it's a good win chance. You have Kyle Harrison against the Nationals. I don't really like Kyle Harrison, but this is against the Nationals and that should be a solid strikeout game. Brian Bello against the Orioles. Don't love the matchup. Bello's a solid pitcher. Same with Carlos Rodon against the Marlins. Actually reverse it. You have a better matchup, but Carlos Rodon hasn't really looked like Carlos Rodon yet. And I'm still a little weirded out by him. You have Sonny Gray as a still ill that is generally on the first start back from the IL. They are limited. If you have him in your IL spot, don't take him out of it. Do not make the move to remove someone on your team if you can. Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to make any sort of free agent moves until Sonny Gray is out of that spot. But you do not have to go and get this one today. You can be a little sneaky and wait a few days if you like, just to assess everything first. Maybe get an extra day or two with those other guys on your roster first. Logan Allen against the White Sox would be a streaming option as well. Same with Martin Perez against the Tigers. Good win chances for both of those. On the questionable start side, you have Frankie Montas against the Brewers in Cincinnati. Not fun there. I know Montas survived his first two starts, but he can't keep getting away with it. He's not this overwhelming, amazing pitcher. He might be a Vargas rule at some point here or continuing the trend. I think this is still too risky. AJ Puck against the Yankees. He's not terrible. Like, I see Puck as a Toby. It's against the Yankees, though. I don't want to do that, right? Okay, cool. Patrick Sandoval against the Rays. He looked better last time. And also, this is the Rays, and the Rays are not a very good offense. Michael Soroka against the Guardians. I don't know how to treat the Guardians right now. Michael Soroka is a Toby-esque kind of guy. I think he gets better as the season goes on. Hopefully we see the command that he used to have, but the slider was good. It's at the bottom of questionable start. Really don't do this unless you're a quality start league. And that's even there. I wouldn't suggest it, but that is a deep option. Do not start here. You have Alex Wood, who maybe does do the Blake Snell blueprint and gets away with it, but the stuff isn't that good against the Rangers. No thanks. Louis Varland against the Dodgers. I just need to see him actually do the thing with his four-seamer and cutter and slider properly. Adrian Hauser against Atlanta. Maybe he checks out fastballs and that just works. I don't know. It's weird with Hauser, but it's Atlanta. Come on. Josiah Gray against the Giants. Maybe it does work, but I just don't like Josiah Gray. Kyle Quantrill against the Diamondbacks. No thank you in cores. Joe Ross is not a very good arm to trust in fantasy against Cincinnati. In Cincinnati. And Drew Smiley might be open for Ben Brown. But if Ben Brown does show up, maybe that actually is a decent vulture option because he should go multiple innings here, maybe three or four. But he's also limited to about 60 pitches, Ben Brown, if they are stretching him out more. That's just not really a thing I want to chase. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support. Remember, I am live every single morning on the website and at playback.tv/pitcherlist, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time every day. I also do my list stream 2 p.m. to about 6 p.m., sometimes as late as 7, on the website. So go swing on by. And if you do watch the stream, make sure you go and sign up for Playback. It's completely free. You don't need to put a credit card or anything. Just make an account. It goes a huge way for me if you just follow that Playback channel. I can't express enough. It costs you nothing and it helps me out a ton. So please consider doing that. That is all for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.